Now therefore, hearken now unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which the Amalekites did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way, and he came up from Egypt. Now go, listen to what the commandment was. Now go and smite the Amalekites, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not. But slay both man, woman, infant, and suckling, ox, and sheep, camel, and ass. Did anybody get that confused what God said? What did He say?
Go slay them all.
Go slay them all. Now, you see, if you'll listen to the voice of God, He'll tell you exactly what to do. Y'all with me? Exactly what to do. And so Saul gathered the people together, and the number of them, and on, were 200,000 footmen, and on, he goes. Verse 7. And Samuel smote the Amalekites from the Hivites until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agai the king of the Amalekites alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. And Saul and the people spared Agai, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not destroy them, but everything that was vile and refused, that they destroyed utterly. Now, is that what God told them to do?
Nope.
And so, now God's upset. And that's a lot like people are doing today. They're trying to claim things that are written in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to the Jews when God never told you to go do that. And so why I'm telling you this story is prayer is going to fit into the same scenario, and you've got to understand who is your apostle.
Paul.
Oh, come on, a little bit better than that. I mean, we're not Pentecostal yet, but let's go just a little bit better than that. Who's your apostle?
Paul.
How do we know?
Romans 13,
Romans 15, 16, 1 Timothy 1:11, and 2 Timothy 2, verse 7. Absolutely. Bam, bam, bam. We know. Because we've got the verse, we know where God said it. This is what God said. And we've got to take God at His word. Alright? So, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, verse 11, it repented me that I have set Saul to be king. There he is repenting again, the Lord. For he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my what?
Commandments.
And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Like, oh boy, what am I going to do? You know, I'm going to have to do something. And so, yeah, we've got to do something to arrange this. It freaks me out because I don't mind people being behind me, but I can't read them as well from my backside. Oh, quit that, Rosita. And so Samuel sent on a task by God to go meet Saul. And Samuel's upset about it because he's got to come up against. Now watch this, because this is what people are doing with their religion when they take it from something that was said to Israelites and not to the Gentile church. Now watch this. Verse 12. And when Samuel rose up early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and he's gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed art thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandments of the Lord. Say that again.
Liar.
Liar. Pants on fire. He lied. But in his heart, he didn't lie, did he? In his heart, he felt like he had really done it, man. He was really turning it on with the Lord. And you know, that's exactly how people feel today when they start to do things out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They feel like they're turning it on for the Lord. And the Lord's going like, you're going the wrong direction. You're going the wrong direction. Why are you going in that direction? I told the Israelites to go in that direction. And so people don't rightly divide their book. And so every doctrine becomes confusing, such as prayer. And we're going to deal a little bit with this issue. I'm just trying to set you in your mind why you have to rightly divide the book. Because you may be following instructions, but you may be following instructions given to somebody completely different. And so Saul, or Samuel, has a little bit of wisdom, thank God. Look what he says, verse 14. And Samuel said, what meaning then this bleating of the sheep in mine ear, and the lowing of the oxen, which I hear? Why, if you did everything God said, why am I hearing that? And so people say, well, you know, Jesus said, if you'll ask anything in my name, what did he say?
We'll do it.
Now, it did not say, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it whenever I feel like it. That is not what the Bible said. It did not say, oh, listen, if you ask it every third or fourth time, I'll answer it. What did he say?
I will do it.
Well, then if he doesn't, he would be a what? Or there's got to be a dispensational change in the Bible for sure. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, we're talking a grain of mustard seed is the faith he's requiring. It's not like he's asking for like a half a pound.
Right.
You know, one seed. Not a half a pound of faith. One little seed. And so Samuel's kind of caught in this. And what do we know about the heart? Yeah, Jeremiah 17, verse 9, right? I would put that down where he says, I have performed, verse 13. And by the way, isn't that remarkable that it's in verse 13? Wait until your kid becomes 13.
Jeremiah what?
Jeremiah 17, verse 9. You want to write that in your Bible. Right by verse 13. I perform the commandments. He's deceived himself in his heart. You know how many religious people deceive ourselves? 99.9% of us. Until we can finally believe God's word, and the only way you can is by rightly dividing it. So Samuel asked him, why am I hearing the bleating of the sheep and the lowing of the oxen? And so look at what he said in verse 15. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Again, was that the commandment that God asked?
No,
you got to take God exactly at his word.
Amen.
And Samuel said unto him, Saul, stay, and I will tell you what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto me, say on. And Samuel was on and on. And I want to get down to verse 7. Verse 20. And so he tells him what the Lord, you know, that he was to destroy and utterly consume him and all that. Verse 20, and Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. Did he?
No.
And have gone the way which the Lord has sent me, and have brought out Agai, the king of the Amalekites, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil of the sheep and the oxen and the chief things of the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And this is the point. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? See, that's the whole issue of the Bible. Listen, God's not interested in what your belief system is are you obeying the Word of God? Now, when it comes to prayer, prayer is one of those unique things that definitely needs to be rightly divided. Go first, before we go to Paul's, which we're going to study tonight, and go to Matthew. Go to John. Be easy here. It doesn't matter. It's all good. There. Turn wherever you like and we'll start. Oh, good. We're glad to have everybody from Berlin and Columbus, and we've got people from Phoenix. We appreciate you joining in, and people from Chattanooga, Florida, Alabama, Texas, and we got quite a good crowd here tonight, so we appreciate everybody coming in. Where did I tell you? John 14. Now, and nothing more than if you say we take God's word, then this stuff is important. Now, what's fascinating me about the book of John is how people wrongly divide it. I'll give you an example. How many heard this verse? John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Who's the you?
Israelites.
In that kingdom. And I will come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, that you may be also, and on and on. Now, look at verse 6. This is a verse everybody quotes. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Now, how many times did we hear that?
All the
time. So we claim that verse, you know, it's solid, you know, we put our anchors in it, and man, because it's ambiguous, and how do you know? You know what I mean? It's kind of vague. But John 12, 13, and 14 is not vague, and verse 15 is clear. Watch this, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, do you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The works that I do, shall he do also. Well, he walked on water. Now, I'll tell you how silly this is. Roman was in a van, and the water got up 10 inches, and he was afraid to cross. That's what I heard. Floorboard. I got here one night, and the water was mid-door. I risked my own life to get here, and for tomatoes, he would not. Wasn't that what you were getting, tomatoes?
Well, I was going to tell him about an appointment.
Oh.
You just got more pain.
Yeah.
Trust me. Greater works than these. Hey, he walked on water, guys. Now, how many's got works they want to brag about greater than these? Not very many. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, everybody. Now listen, if he doesn't, then God's a liar. Amen? Because if we stand on it like Saul stood on it, you've got to stand on it. Amen? Or there has to be something dispensationally that changed. Which one do you think? I think it is. Yeah, I do not think God's a man that he should lie. And so the only conclusion that you can come to, because we've all prayed something in Jesus' name and he didn't do it. Amen? We all determined that last time. You ever done that, Steve? Prayed it in Jesus' name and it never came. Oh, you liar. Don't listen to him. He's worse than King Saul. There ain't none good, you know? I mean, we're all sinners. But somebody had that faith. Okay? And he told that specifically to somebody, but not to me. So then we get the Apostle Paul. He gets saved out here in Acts chapter 9. And what's fascinating about this whole thing in my mind, as you think about it and whatever, is he writes half the New Testament. Which is interesting. Because you know how many people even know that he wrote 13 books? They don't even know who Paul is. I mean, I know some people who think Paul was part of the 12.
Amen.
I mean, they're like in the dark. But Paul had the power from the Holy Ghost. And he could do miracles and wonders and signs.
I always thought it was scattered chapter in between that.
Yeah.
I had no idea that it was right in the middle.
It's weird, isn't it? And there's a reason why it's right in the middle. Why is Hebrew Revelation over here?
Later. It's for later.
Yeah, it's coming up later. The second coming and all that. This is the body truth here. You see what I'm saying? And so the body truth falls in these 13 books. 13, that's apropos. Huh? The chief of sinners, I mean, you know, if you think about it, turn around a little. I won't bite you. But you guys can actually hold Bibles on your laps. They've been doing it in the pews for years. I mean, you guys don't have to crick your neck. I don't want you going out. Bye, Brother Barry. All right.
Yeah.
I'm working. Huh? And then look in verse 15. If you love me, keep my what?
Commandments.
How many people here keep their commandments?
Every day.
I don't either. I don't know anybody. And I've asked a lot. But look at what Romans said about that. Go to Romans chapter 2. Hold on to the phone. Go to Romans chapter 2. Verse 13. Carrie's got a little notepad. That's good. Let me tell you, you guys ought to be taking notes.
They help a lot.
Trust me.
2:13.
For not the hearers of the law are just before God. It's not how much you hear the law, but the doers of the law shall be what? It isn't how much you hear the law. It isn't how much you hear the commandments. It's the doers of the law that get it. Well, how many have sinned?
All.
Well, what is sin?
Transgression
of the law. 1 John 3, verse 4. Or 4, verse 3, I'm sorry. So, everybody has sinned. How many has kept the law?
None.
So, it's not the hearers. Yet, he told somebody to keep the commandments. You know why? These commandments are fantastic. Look what happens in this kingdom. Go to Hebrews and watch what happens to them. It's a little bit different than yours. Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 8:10. For this is my covenant that I will make with the house of who?
Israel.
Well, you need to underline that. It's not yours. This is the people that can keep the commandments and ask anything in His name, and I'll show you why in just a minute. For this is my covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. He did not say the world. He did not say the Gentiles. He did not say you Gentiles. After those days, saith the Lord, I'll put my law into their what?
Minds.
They won't even have to think. It'll already be in there. And write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a what? And they shall not teach every man his neighbor. Well, why would I be up here teaching if we had this power? Can anyone tell me that? Andy? Come on. Why would I be doing that? If I had that unction, and you had the word written on your heart, would you need me to teach you?
No.
Andy wouldn't even need a script, would he?
He would, you know, that is the ultimate script writing. Just shoot it on the heart. You know. Some of the scripts might. Hey, listen, this is what some of the scripts would do for you, though. Ah! Oh my gosh, you're kidding.
You're going to scare everybody.
I try. Was that good acting?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We'll go ahead and put a good word in for you.
Thank you, thank you. There's one thing I know I'm not. That's that. I'm not a musician either. I've been told that. I can't sing, and I have not much talent. But so the only thing left for me to do was to preach. So let's turn the Word of God.
Amen.
Verse 11. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest. These people are going to have this law written on their hearts, guys.
Yes.
Look at 1 John. I like 1 John. 1 John 1:9. That, you know, if you confess your sins, and what does the word is mean anyway? You know? If you can confess your sins, you're okay. You got it?
1 John what?
1 John 2. 1 John 2. I was joking about 1 John 1 9. Verse 20. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know what?
All things.
Is that true of today?
Nope.
No.
No, it isn't. Verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of Him, the Comforter, and guess what John 14 and 15 was about? What do you think that John 14 was about? About the Comforter. That's why I'm reading this.
Yeah.
But the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you, and you need not that any man what?
Teach you.
Teach you. Why are we doing this? Why are we making the effort? You've already got it. And that's why all the other apostles and all the other writers of the New Testament wrote very little. Because they weren't there to teach you. The instruction was going to be written on your heart. All they had to do is make you understand who Christ was. Okay? So their prayers were according to that which was written on their heart. In fact, look in Matthew. Go back to Matthew for a minute. Matthew 10. These people in their prayers and everything prayed according to that which was written in their heart. Where did I tell you? Matthew 10?
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Go to verse 19. I mean, oh, you're having a ball, aren't you? You're not paying any attention.
Oh, I am. I just can't turn the pages.
Yeah. Brother's got a baby girl. It's like... Okay, we need to check her back when she leaves. Matthew 10, verse 19. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak. For it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not ye that speaketh, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. See that? Go back to John now.
John 14.
Verse 26. John 14, verse 26. In John 14, verse 26, but the Comforter, talking about the Holy Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, what? He shall teach you what?
All things.
That's interesting. That matches 1 John 2, verse 20 and 27. I would put that in my Bible right there. You see that? 1 John 2, verse 20 and 27. And the point that I'm making with this is what he's talking about in this prayer life has and is connected to the Holy Ghost. Y'all see that? It isn't something that they're just getting mystically that they just will pray. They will pray according to that will because it's written upon their heart. And it's not them that speaketh, it's the Holy Ghost speaking inside of them. Now, I left that out to see who was going to be interested in come today and give you the big chunk. But do you understand? They weren't just given a license just to ask for, oh, can I have gold or can I have that? They would pray according to that which the Holy Ghost put in their heart by that which the Holy Ghost desired and needed. And it was never, ever wrong. So in every case they prayed, what would happen?
They would get answered. They would get what they asked for.
Exactly. Why? They had that unction. Did all of them have that unction? Only the believing Jews. The believing nation had that. But if that was the case for Paul, then Paul got ripped off. Look at Paul. Go to 2 Corinthians. Thinking about right now, you're thinking, I'm glad he's my Bible teacher. I'm glad to be your Bible teacher too. It's an honor. I want you to jump down in verse 12.
What chapter?
2 Corinthians 12, verse 12. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 12. Yes. That's okay. Now, guys, listen to this. He says, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Could Paul do miracles and wonders and signs?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but look at his prayer life was completely different than the 12. In the same context, come back up just a little bit and look, if you will, at verse 6. Now this is fascinating. Had the same power, had the same Holy Ghost, but you know there had to be a different program going because something changed. And that's what I want you to see. He had the power to lay hands on people and they healed. He was able to do that. Why? The Jews required a sign. Did he try to go to some of his old Jew buddies?
Yes.
Yeah. And what would it take for them to believe?
Signs.
And that's what he did. Verse 6. For though I would desire to glory, I should not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but for now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations that was given to me, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan. People always ask, what was the thorn in the flesh? Everybody, repeat the next line. The messenger of Satan. People say, well, was it his eyesight? Okay, let's see. Through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, bad eyesight.
No,
I didn't say that. Say, well, I got beat up in every city. No, didn't say that. What was it?
The messenger
of Satan above me. Yes.
Since the Lord didn't remove it, does that mean that this messenger was continually buffeting him for the rest of his life?
For whatever it took to humble him. I think at a point, he took it away because of revelation, but at the point, you all know about the two mysteries, right?
Yeah.
No? No? Yes? No? Some no and yes. Okay, there are two mysteries involved in Paul's epistle. Let me show you what happened and what I believe happened, Bob. He gets saved on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. I believe that's when the church started. Okay? Which is the body of Christ. From Acts 9 until the end of the book of Acts, 28 chapter, Israel is falling. At that point, Israel is gone. Somewhere back here when Paul gets this revelation that he's talking about, he gets a revelation from God that he's not allowed to speak. And during that period of time, that's when that messenger of Satan was trying to tempt him to let it go. What was that mystery? That everybody that cursed was now going to be able to get saved. All the seers. Not just the ones that had blessed Israel and Israel, but the seers. And the middle wall of petition is not between Jew and Gentile, it's between Israel and Gentiles that had blessed and Gentiles that had cursed. But when he started saving these at the end of the book of Acts, that's why that messenger of Satan was given to him. And it was probably doing stuff like this. You can't tell them yet, can you? I know you know. And he tormented them because he wasn't allowed to speak it until it was time. Now, that's what I personally believe.
So is that why like Paul would have gone like through, like whenever he would go preaching, he would go to
the synagogue.
The Jews.
At the beginning, absolutely. Yes, that's where he got it. And the messenger of Satan was in that synagogue, and they were always denying and poking him with things, kind of like some of the people around here do me. You've got to be on the other end of it. What is it, funny to you?
Yeah, I live here. What did you say?
Black evangelist from California. That's me, baby. Folks, listen, I'm a Bible-believing saint of Almighty God. All I'm interested in is this book.
Amen.
But I believe that there's that messenger of Satan there buffeting him and trying to get him off track and keep him off of his ministry and keep him off of his game. And it's there until at least the end of the book back. Could have gone longer? Absolutely, I don't know. But at that point it was revealed and so it was all over. Look what he says. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, and now forbear, lest by any man. We're down beyond that, aren't we? No.
We're
in for 8.
You're in 7.
Oh, I'm in 7. I'm in 8. I'm sorry. Here's verse 8. This thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Okay. Why isn't the Holy Spirit working on you, Paul? Why isn't the Holy Spirit doing that? He's seeking the Lord 3 times. Now, it didn't say, look, ask in my name 3 times and I will do it. Back in John. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
Didn't say that. But now the apostle to the Gentile seeks the Lord 3 times. And you know what answer he gets? Not, I will do it. Hey, my grace is sufficient. You just relax. That's not what you said in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus. No, but that's what I'm telling you to tell the Gentiles. Now, let's put our prayer lives in that. How many here sought the Lord 2 or 3 times and He didn't do what you thought He was going to do? Everybody in here. See how that fits dispensationally? You can apply that to your life and go, hey, I know where I am in the Bible. Right? I got it. I'm not in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Right? Carrie? I mean, I can't. I mean, I've asked things in the Lord's name and He didn't do it. But I can relate with Paul. I've asked the Lord a bunch of things, sometimes 3 and 4 times. And you know what? The answer is here. God's given you the answer here. And He said unto me, guess who the He is? The Lord. Said unto Him, He answers, My grace is sufficient for thee. Can someone say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
That's what it's all about. When I sat there and watched my son die, you know what I could say? Hallelujah. You know why? His grace was totally sufficient. You just got to believe God. You see, it doesn't matter in our lives what happens. You know, how many here have walked down the Christian walk and stumbled and fallen? All of us. And if you just gotten recently a Christian, don't worry, it's going to happen. You know, amen? Here's the one thing you absolutely will know. His grace is sufficient. In Romans 8, I want you to hold on here because we're coming right back. I haven't finished this. Go to Romans chapter 8. I mean, guys, this is good stuff. Have we still got any listeners on the line?
Oh, yeah.
15.
15, really?
Wow.
Our class is growing by leaps and bounds.
Amazing technology.
Oh, it's incredible. I can't pick my nose any more than can I. Oh, that just irritated it. All right. No, I'm just kidding. I was faking it. That was acting. Romans chapter 8. Y'all ready? Verse 28. And we know. Say that.
We know.
Hey, absolutely know. We know. We got it. We know. It's not like we're guessing anymore. That all things work together for the good of them that love God. Is that true?
Yes.
How about when you fall? How about when your life screws up?
Hallelujah.
All things work. You say, well, how bad can it be? It doesn't matter. Say, it looks bad. Yeah, praise the Lord. You better start looking for the good in it. Paul, one word. Go back to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 12. Prayer. So instantly, this great warrior of the Lord, going out, doing all this, he goes to seek the Lord, and the Lord falls on silent ears. Boy, sounds more like my prayer life than Peter's. You know, amen? Might want to follow Paul on this one, amen? Otherwise, you'll end up not having enough faith. You know, they'll blame you. Why? The reason your prayers aren't being answered is you don't have enough faith. But it said just a mustard seed. That's all you needed was a mustard seed. Yeah, but you don't have enough faith. You need to straighten out. You don't need to get sin out of your life. Well, that would have been true of all those people. You know, the realization is very plainly spoken. That was a different program for a different set of rules for people that had a different unction, different everything. And this is the program for you, and Paul's trying to show you that. We may take a third week in prayer, and I want to show you some of the prayers in this Bible, what men have prayed. And I bet you it's not like any prayers you've ever heard from the side of the thing. Brother Jacob, would you pray? And Brother Jacob goes, oh, praise the Lord, amen. We all get out and they go, Brother Jacob, that was a prayer. When you hear these men's prayer, they're all alone most of the time. Daniel, when he prayed, alone. Prayed not for himself, but for him and Israel's sin issue. Did pray for things, you know. We've gotten this greedy. There's this song, old Christian song a lady gave me back years ago. I wish I had a copy of this tape. I think it was in the record of my son when he died. But it says, Give me this, Lord. Give me that, Lord. Give me, give me mentality. Oh, I really want that, Lord. I really need this, Lord. You know, on and on. And that's how our prayers are. It's like, give me, give me, give me. And at the end of the prayer, he says, well, give me your life. You know, give me all that I want. You know, and I listen to that. That's a lot how we pray. We don't pray like the righteous men of these Bibles, and we've never been taught to pray. Remember when we went over to Hannah? What did Eli think of Hannah was doing? She thought she was drunk. Her, she was saying things, but her mouth wasn't moving, and it was kind of a weird thing. And she said, I'm of a broken heart, I'm of a contrite spirit, Lord. I'm praying to the Lord. Most people wouldn't recognize real prayer. You know, I can tell you that my wife is one of the few women. I came in one night, I'm telling you what, she was praying for her kids, and I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, I thought she went to the loony bins. She had the pillow and she's crying and she's, you know, and I'm like, she said, I'm praying, silly. And I'm like, I have got to learn to pray. I had no idea. You know, I thought prayers were, now I lay me down to sleep. That's weird that our fathers all taught us the exact same prayer. I thought we were like special. All right, lay down and pray at the foot of the bed. That's what my mom and dad did. They do it to you? Did you cross your little hands? Oh, that's weird.
Oh, that's too long.
Yeah, that's too much. I'm freaking out. That is like weird. You know, did y'all pray at the table? Now I let God is great. God is good. For our food, by His hand. Oh man, that's so weird. We all know the same prayer, isn't that weird? And it said not to use vain repetition. Yeah, that's a good hint. Verse 9. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace, the Lord's grace. For my strength is made perfect in what?
Weakness.
So God gets a lot more glory out of our prayers and our what? The weakness. Not when things are happening so good for us, or when we ask and He answers. God likes it because we're down in our weakness and we're relying on Him. That's what God's turned on by. That's the turn on for God. Not the fixing Him. God can go fix anything. But the fact that we trust Him and that we're willing to go to Him by prayer and communicate our weaknesses onto Him. And you know, most of the time I've learned to pray, I don't know how I'm going to even face the guys. What a failure. You see, He likes the weak faith. He likes the brokenheartedness. He likes when you realize it isn't about you. That's what He loves. Back then, He did it because they needed a sign. And He gave them the unction to poof, instantly do it. But now it's the idea of letting your request be made known. Go to Isaiah for a minute, Isaiah 40. We don't use anything but Romans 5, Philemon, so please be careful treading in areas that you don't normally go.
Isaiah 40.
Part of my life outside of my salvation that I ever walked with the Lord. And through that little boy's death, and this is so humbling to me, we've handed out tape after tape after tape of the sermon I preached, and people have gotten saved from that tape. Hearing that tape. If y'all like a copy of that tape, we'll get you some up here. And that little boy's message couldn't have come about with them living. And God used that for His glory and honor. And He has probably preached more salvation messages than I could ever dream to. Say, well, is that a great thing? Well, let's evaluate. He's not in the stinking, filthy world where sin is so rapid. Amen?
Amen.
He's with the greatest Father of all time.
Amen.
You know? And I will get to see Him again. Okay, let's take that compared to some of the other kids. Not sure where they're going. Worried all the time. Thinking about it. You see the difference? I am thankful for that. And the fact that God used that for His glory and His honor is incredible. But He'll use anything you'll let Him. Because it's the weakness. When you're brokenhearted and you don't have anything to brag about. See, what God likes is when you get to a place in your life, guys, where you lay it all down. And you know, these people that have this self-righteous attitude with the whatever, you know, they have. Bring it here and let me see how good it is. I mean, come on, just bring your stuff, whatever you think is so great, so powerful, and lay it down. Let's evaluate it for a little bit. I mean, you really think it's all that much to do all that? Put all your strength and energy into that as if somehow that's pleasing to God? Honestly, bring it out. I'd like to see men that think there's something. Bring their righteousness and lay it down and let's check it out. They're probably a lot like Saul, amen? I have performed with you, but I'd have to be the man of God. But if that's true, why am I hearing the bleating of the sheep and the lowing of the oxen with the stuff you do? Carrie, don't get mad at me. That includes covenants. I'm not saying that to be bad. Bless God. We don't have anything, and God likes it when we're broken. God likes a broken and contrite spirit. You ought to look that up in your Bible. He likes it when you're totally without strength. Because then He gets the glory. Then He gets the glory. Not us. Not us. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at Paul's attitude toward all this. Verse 9 again. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know what Paul says then? Most gladly, therefore, I will glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in what?
My infirmities.
Infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak,
then I am strong.
You see that? Then am I strong. When are you the strongest? When you're totally out of strength. When you think you can muster it up, you're at the wrong part of the game. When you realize you can't go another foot, and everything that has happened, and you stop in your desperation, and you go, hallelujah. There I was leaning over my dead son's body, and if I could have glued him back or prayed him back together again or made him well, I would have done that. And as I was sitting over his body, that verse came into my mind, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And the guy, the EMT said, well, he's dead. And I said, well, praise the Lord. And he looked at me like, what? What? Praise the Lord? Well, what was I going to do? Get pissed off? Tell God I don't like His decision? I knew whatever decision He brought in my life would work out for my good. That's what the Bible says. You're talking about believing a verse? You don't know how hard that was to believe that verse that night. Oh, say you believe the Bible. Wait until something like that comes up and you have to believe it. That stuff. And I'm not bragging about my Christianity because I'm a failure. You all understand? Yeah, if pastors think they're going to get beyond it all, I sat up at 3 o'clock in the morning freaking out. crying to myself with my pillow in my mouth. But I wasn't going to deny God's word. If He said it, I was going to believe it, no matter what it cost me.
Amen.
And the more I stood on that verse, and the more my wife stood on that verse, the stronger and stronger we got in the Lord. Almost to the point now, I wish something would break me again. Because you know what? You start to get a little high-minded. A little haughty attitude. Look at me, I know something in the Bible. And you know, we don't know anything. Job, you know, he was talking at the end, and all of his buddies, you know, you gotta watch friends like Job's buddies, you know. And they were all like, Job, what'd you do wrong? What'd you do wrong? And Job said, I didn't do anything wrong. And he got a little self-righteous at the end of the book of Job, chapter 38, 39, right in there. And God asked Job, He said, Job, you're so self-righteous. Tell me, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth into the skies? Where were you when I laid the stars in their sockets? Where were you when I did all that? Job said, I'm no man. Jesus, the Savior on the cross, have you ever seen that in Psalm 22? Did I ever show you Psalm 22? Let's turn to Psalm 22 for just a minute. In prayer, just think about this in prayer. Remember the minister of Satan, the buffet, Paul? Wait until you see these guys. These guys had nothing on those. They sent their very best. Where did I tell you? Psalm 22? That's a good place. Go to Psalm 22. Anybody know Psalm 23? What? Go ahead. Repeat it. What? This is a new Bible. Boy, turn on me like ravaging wolves. Maybe you'll see yourself in the content. This is the mind of the Lord on the cross. This was actually in the mind of your Savior while dying for your sins. Listen to this. He goes, My God! My God! Why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? And from the words of my roaring, I would imagine that's prayer. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season am I not silent, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and did, and thou deliverest them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man. The Creator of heaven and earth said, I'm a worm and no man. You know why? He was dying for me. He was dying for Barry Hampton. And despised of the people. And all that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out their lips and they shake their heads saying, He trusted on the Lord that He would deliver him. Let Him deliver him, seeing that He delighteth in him. Boy, would that make you, knowing that He's on that cross, becoming your sin, your filthiness, your vileness, everything that you have ever done that has been wicked or will do that is wicked, was put upon Him. And God, as it were, turned His back on His dear Son and let His Son cry, Oh my God, why, you know, and He wouldn't listen to His roaring. You know why? He had to go completely to death with your sins to make that payment for you so that you might have eternal life. And he yells out, I am a worm and no man. Oh, listen to him. He trusted in the Lord. Let him deliver him. But if he got off the cross, Steve would never have a chance. You would never have a chance, brother. People make a joke and a mockery of this book. This book is incredible. And the Lord didn't even answer His own dear Son's cry and prayer. You know why? He was dying for your sins. What a mockery we make of it. Verse 9. But Thou art He that took me out of the womb and did maketh me hope when I was upon my mother's breast and I was cast upon Thee from the womb. You know who that is? That's all the demons of the Roman soldiers. He could look down past their skin and see the demoniac spirits inside of him as he was being crucified and couldn't do a thing to it, was totally under their control of death because he was dying for your sin and 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 your sin. Couldn't stop. And the dogs have compassed me and the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my what? You got that. Matthew 27. I put that in my Bible. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vestures. Be not thou far from me, O Lord. All my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword. My darling from the power of the dogs. Save me from the lion's mouth. For thou hast heard me from my horns of the unicorn. I will declare thy name in my forever. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Yeah. Wow. You know what he says? Eli, Eli. He says, my forgive my father for the end of life. And he literally gives up the ghost and walks out of his flesh and into hell so that you could do it. And you know what? God did not answer his prayer for calling out deliverance. No. Your own Savior. Isn't that amazing? And yet 3 days after he went into hell, God raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen.
Peter didn't understand all that. Had the Holy Spirit didn't understand it all. Walking on the road of Emmaus, Jesus appears to him. He says, what are you guys sad about? He says, you must not have heard it. You must not have heard that Jesus from Nazareth died today, and today is the third day, or died 3 days ago, and now it's the third day. And there was Jesus standing right beside him. He finally takes the scriptures and shows them. Listen, if they won't believe the Word of God, they're not going to believe anything. So there's Paul as an example of grace's prayer. And Jesus is an example of that prayer as well. That's amazing.
Barry, do you think David was writing prophetically here, or do you think it was a dual fulfillment?
I think it was both. I think it was a prophecy at the time, but now has been fulfilled.
Yeah. But I mean, did David experience something similar?
No.
So he's writing prophetically.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, it was definitely written in prophetic form.
You know, I don't know how many times I've read that.
You know, when you can see into the man's mind that died for your sins and how much he wanted delivery, but it couldn't be done until he was raised again from the dead. And we talk about the being saved by the faith of Christ. That's it. All right, so go to Romans chapter 12. This is some things about prayer. We notice that not every time Paul prayed, he got answered. So guess what you can expect? Same thing, pretty much. And this is not all. This is not an exhaustive study. And not, nor is it intended to be an exhaustive study. Somewhere down the road, as we go, we'll get into verse-by-verse studies. But we're not spiritually at that place as a group. In Romans chapter 12, read with me in verse 12. It's talking about the body of Christ and the members and the ministry of the body of Christ, and we all have differing ministries and all of those things. Verse 12. Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in what?
Prayer.
Then we're not supposed to sit down and ask for prayer. You should have a prayerful attitude all day long. Be instant in prayer. You don't have to wait. Hey, sometimes driving down the road, you need immediate prayer. You all understand? Trust me. Water gets up about mid-door, you'll go automatically into prayer. People ask me this all the time. What about prayer in school? Go ahead, ask me that.
What about prayer?
Thank you. Prayer was never taken out of school.
Amen.
Go ahead and have an exam popped on you and watch the prayer.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No kid.
Yeah, no kid is going to sit there and go, oh, Lord help me. What have I done? Immediately. Now, their prayers may be in vain, but let me tell you, you can't remove prayer out of anywhere. Y'all understand?
Yeah.
They can take Our Father, which art in heaven, thy will be done. Well, they can take that prayer out, but is that prayer written to us?
No.
Do you want your kids learning that prayer?
No.
It's okay to learn it, but I don't want them repeating it as a mantra time and time again. So, I wouldn't want them to teach my kid that, not necessarily prayer. Say, were you something like an ACLU guy? Well, you know, I don't think that they should be going to school for religion. Now, I didn't send my school kids to school. I homeschooled. So I taught them the way I wanted to teach them. Y'all understand? But I would have turned my children 8 hours over to the public school system and expect them to come out as saints. They're going to come out mostly agnostic or atheist or doubting their faith. That's the whole design by the thing. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with public education. People get out of public education, do well, but then they, at the end of their life, they end up go to hell. What's good that? You know, the Bible says, what if a man gains the whole world and loses his soul? What's the point? And they're not their design. John Dewey, the father of the public school system, said that if he could have your children's mind for 8 hours, he could control the entire world. That's a quote.
That's right.
Now,
so Barry, that's just kind of a cop-out when people whine and complain.
That, about the prayer?
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. Listen, they never stop me from praying. Be on a plane that's about to crash. I was learning to fly an airplane. And I was at 3,500 feet. And back then we had to learn spins because that was part of the test. It's not anymore, you know, thank God. But when I got my private pilot's license, it was. So I'm up in that thing. And I found out you can take the Lord's name in vain and cuss in the same sentence. I'm not kidding you. You say, well, it wouldn't happen to me. You don't know that. I'm sitting there flying, and all of a sudden, I get myself into the spin, and I'm not real smart. But when you're doing this, and the green is getting bigger than the blue, and your eyes can barely focus, that's not a good thing. When the altimeter is ripping, best to freak out. So I did what everyone naturally does. If you want the nose of a plane to go up, what do? You pull back on the yoke. Except, guess what that does? When you're in a spin, it tightens it up. You've got to push forward to get airspeed under your wings to create lift. Now, that's not natural. I'm going down. Why would I push my nose down? You know, it doesn't make sense. So it's against your nature. And so I'm in this plane, and I'm not kidding. It was, oh my God. Oh, poopy! Okay, it was more modern vernacular. Oh my God! Oh! You know? Oh my God! And we're down to 500 feet. I'm convinced I'm going to die. I'm not kidding you. I'm 21 years of age. I didn't know any Bible, but I knew one line. I remember what Jesus said. And so I let go, and I said, into your hands I commend my spirit. Well, I'm going to... Don't laugh, I was dying. This was very ceremonial. I'm like kamikaze pilot. I'm going to die. So what are you going to say? You know, I don't... Like, my wife's visions flashed before my head. I didn't have a wife. I didn't have anything. It was like, God, this is what you're going to get, baby. I'm going to die. And as soon as I let go... Assessment 152A, if you let go pretty good, will try to fly itself out of it. Man, that thing started catching air, and I'm thinking I'm dying. And it lifts up just a little bit, and I realize I'm flying flat again. I'm like, woo! Woo! Of course, when they came back, they cut my shirt tail off. Maybe I'll have to figure that out. Yeah. It does freak you out, doesn't it, brother? Man, when that plane flew out, it was like salvation. But you know what? If I had crashed at that moment in my life, I would have busted hell wide open. It would have been... I would have busted hell because I didn't get saved until 3 years later. So be instant in prayer. Let me tell you. You can have an instant prayer life, but unless you're saved, it's worthless. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. I know you guys were thinking with as much hot air in my lungs, I should have been floating anyway. You guys were bad over there. Terry, look at those three over there and tell them they are sinners. Let them out. Take the word of God and say, you have sinned. They'll have to admit it. Ask them if they're liars. And look at them and ask them. Ask those three guys right there if they're liars.
Yep.
Guys, he didn't even ask.
He was looking for your dad.
What's wrong with you?
Bob said there's a man of liar. So yeah. The person.
Ephesians what?
6, verse 18. I hope you guys are enjoying this on the internet. I from preaching yesterday and today I'm going hoarse. The Bible says... He's talking about the armor of God here. And we'll go over the armor one day, but he just says, pray always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit. Watch thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You see that? Verse 18, Ephesians 6, 18. Did I not give you that? Okay. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching therefore with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then he says, pray for me, that the utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the what? Then one of the things we ought to be praying for is that people get a chance to open their mouths boldly.
I mean, he had to pray that.
Bob just going with his scales falling off people's eyes. It's exciting, isn't it, Brian?
I mean, that's, well, Paul had to pray that. I thought he was surely just bull all the time.
No. Now remember, there was a messenger of what?
Right.
I mean, he had had a rough time, guys. He'd go in and preach and they'd stone him. And I don't mean this kind. And then he says, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for what?
Nothing.
Why? Why do you not have to worry about it? Romans 8:28, guys. Write it there. The reason you don't have to be careful is all things work out for the good of them that love God. You've got to be kidding me. Let me try that little emphasis over here. You've got to be kidding me. Quit that garbage stuff. Why don't you pray that the gospel might go out and somebody get saved? Why don't you pray that somebody would come along if you're too chicken to preach to them? Let me preach to them.
Go sit down.
Amen? Bring me in. I'm like a cannon. You know, I'll kill the duck, but here's the problem. There may not be much duck left. I noticed. I can tell it's catching on over there. It's going to go around the table like a wave. Y'all understand? God is not interested. Oh, Lord, I wonder which shoes I should get. Oh, which ones do I wear to my sister's wedding? Oh, let's pray about it. Yeah, oh. Here's the idea of God. Whoopee. Once you pray when you get to your sister's wedding that you rip off the covering and you wipe out your sword and you behead them all. With the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
That should be the prayer. Paul, two times he said it, both times it's about what? Getting the mystery out.
Amen.
It's harder to do that than to pray up a... Listen, here's what I found out. When I want a TV, I go and buy it. You know, I don't understand this praying for a mentally good thing. I got to get this off my chest. Gary, don't get mad at me. I don't know where you are. Don't get mad at me. Hang with me. Are you hanging with me? Here's the deal. I don't want to pray before I eat. What happens if I don't like the stupid stuff? I may not be as thankful as I think I am. Now, I mean, you know, if we want to pray at the end saying, Lord, that was really good. Thank you very much. But I have no idea. Some of that stuff I take in my mouth. I mean, I've been at this one Amish house. I'm not kidding. I ain't kidding you. I'm serious.
Wait till I tell Lizzie tomorrow.
You tell, and I'll tell some stories on you. Hey, I'm just telling you. Hey, listen. I'm telling you, I had homemade cheese. Now, there's a few things. Oh. This was, let me tell you what it sounded like. I don't know if that was built right.
My girls love that.
Oh. You know, it reminded me of someone scraping on the board. And I got to tell you, this is what I was praying. Lord, give me the strength not to eat this and not pass out. The prayers in the Bible, almost all of them, have to do with winning people to the Lord and teaching them the truth. It has not to do with the artificial things. Should we give thanksgiving for our food? Yeah, you know what we do at our table? At Thanksgiving, we stop praying. We don't pray anywhere I go. So if you want me to pray, ask me, I may say grace. Grace. But we get Thanksgiving, and so we go around the table and give thanks for what we're thankful for. And the first couple few people that start praying at this big Thanksgiving table will be like, I thank for my family, and I thank you for this. By the time it gets really around, they have had a little time to thank. And you hear the thankfulness completely changing that voice. Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow.
we probably don't know how to pray as we are. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Paul talking to a well-established church here. Gives out short commands, verse 16. Rejoice at y'all right there. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. So wasn't that many pages you got forward and backwards.
Yes, sir.
You guys got lost there somewhere. Rejoice evermore. Pray without what?
Ceasing.
In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. See, he's not having to make explanation here. This is a mature church. Pray without ceasing. You know, in everything give thanks. You know, that's what you ought to learn to do. Amen. Be thankful.
They know he's fast. They don't want him to get too big a lead.
That's where we're going to stop tonight. This is not all on prayer yet. This is just, we're going to go over another aspect of prayer. I'm just showing you in dispensationally, this is completely different than what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and
John. He does that all the time. Lets the good pitchers go by.
Chapter 8, verse 26.
Hi, Mike.
The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not.
I was having trouble. I couldn't open.
What? I don't even know how to pray. Come on, are you kidding me? I couldn't pray according to. I don't have that unction.
Wow.
I don't even know how to pray. For we know not what we should pray
on,
for
it'd
as we want.
Blank it off.
Have you ever
know.
Heard that? Most people, I teach on prayer and I ask them, have you ever heard that you don't know what to pray for as you ought? I have never heard that verse in the Bible. I don't know what to pray for as I ought. But thank God, the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. We don't even have to worry, guys. We don't have to worry about the Holy Spirit being in us, right? The thing, it's not about that. He wants to hear your request. And everywhere Paul talks about, it's from an infirmity standpoint, not from a prestige like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. High and humble. It's so contrast, it's unbelievable. So what things should you pray for? Well, that will be our discussion kind of by going through the prayers of what Paul prayed for. I mean, Paul has some prayers in here that are unbelievable. And we'll probably not cover all of them. There's lots of them. And then we're going to go through some of the Old Testament prayers and just take out some examples. And then when you get that, then you'll realize most of what we hear today in churches and at tables and at all these ceremonies is nothing more than what?
Show
things in garbage. So?
We've always been taught that, you know, we're two or three gathered together.
Well, it says that.
Yeah, and so we always thought that there's more power in prayer when you pray together. That's what we've always been taught.
Yeah, but you know what? It isn't. Because who's praying for you? The Spirit. Just relax, guys. You just pray instantly, huh?
Well, verse 34 too says that Christ intercedes for us.
Yes, he does. Making intercession for us. Yes, he does. So, guys, we'll take up what prayer looks like in the next aspect, and then we ought to have a pretty good understanding what prayer is. Fair enough. Anybody learned anything so far? Some people? Okay, praise the Lord. All right, well, I think there's food. We don't have to pray for it because we know it showed up. We will pray for insulin shots later. This is the only place you need, like, extra doses. I sell a hit for very cheap. All right, I'm done.